hope you guys have had a good week. Well, hello, Tammy. I got new glasses, and I just got focused in on you. Well, I'm glad you're here. We've been praying for you. I know you've had a tough time losing your dad and everything. It hurts. It hurts. We're still in. We're in weeks, part six of fighting for awesome relationships. And today we're going to be talking about fighting for awesome friendships. I've been told before, I said, Jim, you know, I don't have time for friends right now in my life. I'm just too busy for relationships. But you know what I'd say to that? You're just too busy. You're just too busy. You need to cut something out because life is all about relationships. That's what it is. And I'm telling you, at the age of 54, I'm telling you now, you're going to regret this later on in life if you're too busy for friendships and for relationships in your life. Because one of the greatest tasks that we have is building great, great friendships. And if you don't build them early on or in the middle stages of your life, you're going to wind up pretty lonely. You're going to wind up by yourself. So it's one of the key things that God wants us to do is build these deep friendships. So I wanted to remind you guys and myself five reasons why we need awesome friends in our life. And this is where we're going to talk about this week and next week. We're going to look at how to build them. I think we'll look at a couple of ways how to build them today. But we'll finish up next week. So let's look at the five reasons real quick of why we need awesome friendships. The very first reason is this: for spiritual growth. We need friendships for spiritual growth. If you're filling in your blanks in your outline, you know, you cannot become like Christ. You cannot become all that God meant for you to be. You cannot grow to spiritual maturity by yourself. You just can't do it by yourself. You must have friends in your life to accomplish God's purpose for your life. You can't fulfill God's purpose for your life by yourself. Romans 12 says this: I want us to help each other with the faith that we have. And I love this next part. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. That's important. Our faiths help one another. So we need each other for spiritual growth. The other thing we need friendships for is this: emotional support. We need friends for emotional support. Because life's this kind of journey that's kind of up and down. You know, there's times in our life that are sad, there are times that are good, and we go through all kind of things, and we need companions. We need somebody along with us. And what I've come to is after 54 years of living, that there's two kinds of people in this life. There's VDPs, I call them VDPs, stands for very dependent people. And then there's VIPs. These are very inspirational people. So there's VDPs and there's VIPs. I'm going to tell you something about VDPs. They drain you. They just, dependent people just drain you. And so you need more VIPs in your life and lesser or fewer VDPs. VIPs are people who can inspire you. They bring out the best in you. They just bring it out. In the Bible, scholars say that the Bible lists it 58 times the phrase one another. One another. It said love one another, serve one another, help one another, care for one another. And these are commands. 58 commands. And you can't do this alone. So you can't obey this if you don't have friends. Galatians 6:2 says this: carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. What they're saying is this: if you're not helping out another friend, you're not fulfilling the law of Christ, which is to love one another, to love each other. The third thing is this. Reason we need friends is for better health. We need friends for better health. Not only does the Bible talk about this, but science has confirmed it over and over and over, that you will live longer and healthier lives if you have healthy friendships. If you don't have healthy friendships, you're going to die sooner than you can imagine. People without friends don't live as long as people with deep friendships. They're not as healthy. And one of the reasons why is this. Having a deep, close friend is a place where you can unload negative emotions. You can get them out. You can spew on a good deep friend. Good. That don't sound good. But you can vent. You can get rid of these negative emotions. James 5:16 says this, admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And what that means is if all you want out of life is forgiveness, then you can confess your faults to God. But if you want to be healed, if you want to be set free, then you got to have someone close enough that you can admit them to personally. Amen? You got to have someone to do that. If you want to be healed, you got to have someone that you can confess those faults to. And that's the starting point, is to share with somebody else. And I'm not talking about just anybody. Don't stop somebody in the grocery store. I'm talking about somebody that you can trust, that you can talk to. But you're not going to get well on your own. You need other people. The fourth reason that you need awesome friends is this, for social enjoyment. For social enjoyment. Life is meant to be enjoyed. It's not just meant to be endured, just to get through one day so I can get through the next. I mean, friendship is kind of the foundation, the bedrock of a satisfying life, because you can make all the money in the world, you can have all the pleasures, you can have all the stuff, but if your relationship's out of whack, if your relationship stinks, then life stinks. You can have everything, but if that stinks, life stinks. Nothing can take the place of a good old relationship, of a good friendship. You know, and when you have awesome friends, the Bible says the joys of life are doubled. Because you know why? Then you get to share them with them. But here's the neat thing to that. The Bible also says when you have burdens in life, when you share them, they're cut in half. You ain't got to carry them all anymore. I had a burden the other night. I called Dave. He carried half of it. I'm carrying half of it. Everybody happy. Amen? That's what I was doing. I was sharing. I didn't want to carry it all. I thought, that's dumb, Jim. You're studying that this week. Call David. Let him carry part of it. Well, Genesis 2:16 or 2:18 says, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. God hates loneliness. The fifth reason why we need friends is to reach our goals, to reach your goals, to reach your goals. You will never fulfill the goals that you have in life by yourself. If you achieve the goals you have in life by yourself, you got some puny goals. You got some little goals, because it takes a team to fulfill a dream. Anything great cannot be done by one purpose, by one person. You know, you got to have friends in your life, or you're not going to accomplish great things. You got to have friends. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. You say, well, Jim, where do I get friends like that? How do I make friends like that? That's what we're going to be talking about this week and next week. So I want to urge you to come. Well, the best place to get friends like this is in the church. You know, some of you may disagree with me, and I don't mind if you're wrong, but you're going to find the highest quality. You're going to find the best character, or at least people with goals of that. You're going to find people with similar goals, similar values. You know, and specifically if you would like to have these deep friendships, I want to tell you something. Get involved in a ministry. Get involved in the church or join, a small group. You know, there's lots of different ministries that we have at North Point that you could be in right now. That you could be involved in. Small weekly ministries or even, you know, small groups. I'm sure you can find some place to give back instead of just come on Sundays and receive. There's plenty of places to give back. So get involved, I'm telling you, and meet other quality people. One of the things that I like, and a lot of times I'm a teacher, and so I have to be careful. We think of small groups sometimes as we have a teacher, and this is a small group, and that's what's going to do it. You know, one of the neatest small groups that I see on Monday night, I call it the hen party. These ladies come serve. They come cook every Monday night. And then some other ladies come in, and they help them out in the kitchen. Then when everybody's served and the kitchen's clean, the men come clean up. There's a men that clean up, ain't it? Maybe I'm wrong about that. I'm wrong about that. Yeah. But anyway, let's go on. All these women get there, and they sit at the same table. And I just love it. It's the hen party. But these ladies love one another. And they have begun involved in ministry. And they have created this bond together. And it's kind of neat to see that every Monday night. And you could be experiencing that too. They love one another. They get around you. You can't talk to them. But they love one another. Or go on a mission trip. Did you guys know that that's how me and David and Paxton met one another? Really? I mean, we knew each other, but we met each other on a trip to Topeka, Kansas to help build a church. We spent a week and a drive all the way to Topeka and back in the camper. And we met one another. And gosh, that would have been about 1990, wouldn't it? Somewhere around there. And we didn't know that those three guys that went, God was going to use to help build a church. So go on a mission trip. We got an opportunity right here to go to Lebanon. You know, eight of you, go. And there may be people you never met before. You know, I talked to people that met Derek and Jennifer in Mexico. They got a chance to get to know them. Just sign up. You ain't got to know everything that's happening. Just sign up. You're gonna meet people. You're gonna develop friendships when you serve others, when you serve folks with somebody. The other way is small groups. And North Point Church is made up of small groups, and you're not really gonna feel a part of the church until you're in some sort of small group. Whether it's like a hen party they got, or it's a Bible study, or whether it's something, you need to be in a small group. So how do I develop these awesome relationships? And if I had to summarize the whole lesson, which I don't like to summarize because I like to talk, is the golden rule. How do I develop friendships? The golden rule. Jesus gave it to us in Matthew 7:12. Jesus said this, do for others what you would like them to do for you. This summarizes all that's taught in the law and the prophets, which is the Bible. The law and the prophets is the Bible. You know, what this is basically saying is give people what you would like to receive. Give people what you would like to receive. Do to other people what you would like have done to you. Treat other people the way you would like to be treated. We were taught that in Goodyear Elementary School. Treat other people the way you would like to be treated. So let's apply this to friendship. If you want to have deep, does everybody want to have deep, great, meaningful friendships? Yeah, I think everyone does. That means something, lifelong. And it's real simple. Here's what I want to tell you. Write this down. I didn't write it down. Here's what, if you want to have deep, meaningful relationship, this is what you need to do. Be the friend that you would like to have. This puts it on you. Because see, here's what I want to tell you today. I ain't talking about the friend that you're trying to get. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you. I don't want you thinking that I'm describing the friend that you would like. You be the friend that you would like to have. You be the friend that you would like to have. Because you're not going to have that kind of friendship unless you're that kind of friend. You got to have it. Because here's something profound. You will attract what you are. You get that? You will attract what you are. You won't attract what you want. And that's W-A-N-T. I know in Southern it's kind of hard to tell. You will attract what you are, not what you want. Attract what you are. That's kind of deep. If I'm going to attract what I am, If you're a shallow person, guess what you're going to attract? Shallow people. Shallow. That's not deep. If you're a loving person, you're going to attract loving people. If you're a gossip, then you're going to attract gossips. Period. If you're a bitter person, then you're going to attract bitter people. Then you're just going to sit around and complain all the time. That's who I want to hang out with. You attract what you are. So if you're wondering, why do all these people gossip to me? You're a gossip. If you really want deep, loyal friends in your life, then you got to be that kind of person. Why is everybody so shallow? Because you're so shallow. So we want to look at this week and next week, the six golden rules of friendship. We're just going to look at two of them today. And we're going to look at how do you build them. How do you build these deep, deep relationships? Here's six laws real quick of friendships that will change your life if you follow. First golden rule is this. Invest the time. This is a starting point. Invest the time. Invest the energy. Because deep friendships are not accidental. They're not accidental. They're on purpose. They're intentional. It's a choice. And I'm going to tell you what, deep friendships are not instant. It ain't automatic. You know, my small group's kind of new, and we're working on that. We're growing together. And it's going to take some time. It'll take years, you know, to build these deep friendships. You know, deep friendships are not cheap. They cost time and energy for you to invest. It costs some time. It costs effort. Proverbs 18:24 says this, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. You're not going to have friends unless you put forth the effort to be friendly. Here's my point on this. It stop waiting for people to be your friend. You be a friend. You make the effort. And I'm going to tell you something. If somebody only shows up in your life when they need something, or if they only call you when they need something, they're not a friend. They are not a friend. They're an acquaintance. Friends show up whether they need you or not. Others are acquaintances. Friends just show up. They don't need a reason. They just show up. Philippians 2:4 says, here's a big key to this. Do not be interested only in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. Guys, if you follow this rule right here, you could have more friends than you could ever imagine. You know, stop trying to get folks interested in you, but you get interested in others. I'm going to tell you a big, big secret that I found out. Other people ain't interested in you. You know who they're interested in? Themselves. I'm going to tell you what you can stop doing right now. Stop walking into a party and wonder what folks are thinking about you. Because they ain't. They're thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about you. You know, they're not thinking about you at all. You know what they're thinking? What's everybody thinking about me? That's what they're thinking. You know, but to be a friend, you got to be more interested in others than yourself. Than yourself. You know? And guess what else? You can't be a friend without your presence. Presence. Not bringing presence, but without your presence. Write these two words down. Probably one of the most important things about being a friend at all. Show up. Show up. Physical presence is essential to having long-term, deep friendships, not acquaintances. By the way, those folks on Facebook, they ain't really your friends. They're your acquaintance. If they were, I'd have a pile of them. I got a pile of acquaintances, all right? You know, that's not saying anything bad about y'all. Just most of you don't show up at my house and sit around with me and my boxers. Amen? Amen. Pizza guy did the other night, but that's a different story. You know what it means when somebody says, I'll be there in spirit. Do y'all know what that means? Nothing. It means... If you ain't there in body, you ain't there. It means baloney. You know, it means I ain't got time to be there. I've got other priorities, but I'll be there in spirit. No, no. If you ain't there in body, you ain't there. You got to show up. And show up when you don't want to show up. You know, these nights, I don't want to go to small group. These Sunday mornings, I don't want to come here. Just being honest. But it's those mornings when I do it anyway, or those evenings when I do it anyway, that I get the biggest blessing. Amen. They sometimes, I don't want to stop by y'all's house when I'm called out. I wish I could say I go anyways, but I don't. But it's those times I do go when I don't want to go that I get the best blessing. That somehow it shows. Second is this. Second golden rule is this. Earn their trust. You want to be a friend. You want to have deep, long-lasting relationships. You got to earn their trust. Because trust is what makes a friendship to friendship. It's about trust. This is the difference between acquaintances and friends. You talk to an acquaintance, but you trust your friends. It's a big difference. If you don't trust them, then guess what? They ain't your friend. They're just not your friend. You may spend 8 hours alongside them every day working, and they're not your friend. If you don't trust them, then they're not your friend. The mark of a friendship is that you trust them. You got to earn that trust. Proverbs 26, oh, we're on the backside now. Many people claim to be a friend, but it's rare to find someone who is truly trustworthy. I'm going to tell you something. People don't give up their trust automatically. You got to earn it. You got to earn it, and it takes work. It takes effort. It takes time. The Bible says we can earn people's trust in three ways. Let's look at this. This is important. You want to earn someone's trust? I'm going to give you three ways how to do it. The first one is be reliable. Be reliable. Be reliable. Be predictable. You know, not fickle. My mom and all them, I call them old ladies now, but actually they were younger than I am now. They sat on the front porch. And one of the words they used to when talk about somebody that wasn't reliable was wishy-washy. She's so wishy-washy. She's so wishy-washy. You know what? You got to be counted on. Be counted on. To be a friend, you got to be reliable. You can't be wishy-washy. You got to keep your word. When you got someone in your life that's wishy-washy, they ain't no friend. They're not a friend. You know, sometimes they're one way, sometimes you like them, sometimes you don't. They ain't no friend. Reliability is the difference between a friend and a flake. Proverbs 17:17 says this, a friend loves you all the time. You know, I looked up that word all in the Greek. You know what it means? All. All the time. Friend loves you all the time. They take the bad with the good and everything. All the time. All the time. Second way, and we don't talk about this word much at all nowadays. The second way to build trust is by being loyal. Being loyal. We don't talk about loyalty much today. You know, because hardly anybody's loyal anymore. Hardly anybody's brand loyal anymore. We got to say, there's a little town in Rockmart called Oregon, right next to Rockmart's Oregon. There's part of Oregon, they don't drive nothing but Dodges. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Guy's got a garage. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? The Moses. You pull up in there in the Ford, you'll get run, slap off. Even now, this has been going on ever since I was a little boy, and even before. Nothing but Mopar. He's brand loyal. The whole community is. But we don't have a lot of brand loyalty, you know, like that anymore. You know, there's a, you know, we don't even have a loyalty to a church anymore. Or our company. There's just not more, because it's more of a matter of what have you done for me lately. Really than loyalty. But loyalty is a commitment that says, I'm going to put you before myself. And at this point, loyalty is the opposite of self-centeredness. Loyalty is the opposite of narcissism. Loyalty says, I'm going to help you right now, even though I've got something to do. Loyalty says, I'm going to be there because you need me. That's loyalty. Proverbs 17:17 in the NCV version says, or is that where I'm at? Yeah. A friend loves you all. A true friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. That's the Living Bible version. A friend shows up when you need to move. I hate to move. I had to help my wife move a bedroom suit this week, and I just hated every bit of it. So I'm going to tell you something. If you're ever moving and I show up, it's because I love you. And I'm loyal to you. And if you're moving and I know about it and I don't show up, guess what? You're an acquaintance. No, I'm just busy. You know, I got something else to do. But just don't tell me you're moving, all right? Let me tell you something else about loyalty that you may not know. Proverbs 19, I think it's 22. I don't have it in there, but I want you to remember this. Loyalty, what did it say? It said, loyalty makes you more attractive. Some of you guys could use some of that. Amen. What that tells me is loyalty makes you more desirable. Someone wants to be around somebody that's loyal. That's right. As a friend. Amen. You know, not joking around. Loyalty is a big, big attribute. It's a neat thing to have. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, if you love someone, you'll be loyal to them no matter what the cost. You will always believe in them, always expect the best, and always stand your ground in defending them. Guys, this is a big, big, this, it takes a long time to build that kind of trust. Can you imagine? I'm the pastor of this church, and every one of those ladies in that hen party loved me to death. But if I was to say something to one of them ladies and make them mad, they'd all flog me right there. Because they defend one another. I guarantee you they defend one another. They would be on me like Donkey Kong, son. But that's the kind of loyalty that the Bible talks about, is we defend one another. You guys in your small groups and your ministries, we at North Point should defend one another. And that's loyalty. That's why I love my small group. I call them my small group at CrossFit. We encourage one another. You know, we just lift each other up. We keep going, and we don't let each other stop. And I believe, come down to it, we defend one another. But that sounds kind of crazy, but I love it. And that's one of the reasons I go. That's one of the reasons I love to belong. Third way is this, of how to build friendships, is by keeping confidences. Keeping confidences. This is how we build our trust. Everyone needs at least one person in their life that's safe. That they can tell anything to. They can share with that person. And they don't have to worry about whether they're going to tell that. And they don't have to worry that they're going to look at them kind of cross-eyed and reject them. Because they just told them something crazy. That they know they're going to love them. You know, that you can share everything with, your worst fears, your insecurities, your doubts, everything that's going on. And it's essential that what's said in that group, in that relationship, stays in that group. Amen? Stays there. The secret is safe. The mark of a true friend is they know how to keep a secret. So if you really want to be a true friend, you cannot be a gossip. If you really want to be a true friend, you can't be a gossip. And if you're sitting there wondering why I don't have a deep relationship, it's because you are a gossip. It's because you tell stuff. Nobody trusts you. Find someone that you can trust. Build on that. Proverbs 11:13 says, a true friend will keep a secret. And the TEV says, no one who gossips can be trusted, but you can put your confidence in someone who is trustworthy. If you want to have a deep friendship, a long-lasting relationship, zip it up. Zip it up. I'm going to tell you something I've been told ever since I was young, and I ain't always hated it. I wished I had. Is anybody who gossips to you, I guarantee you they're gossiping about you. I guarantee you. You can count on it. They are not your friends. If they're gossiping to you, they are not your friends. They don't have any integrity. Because instead of talking to that person, they're talking to you about that person. Trust takes years to build, and it can be cut down in 5 seconds by gossip. It can be destroyed. So we're working on that in my small group. I think we are. So, on behalf of my small group, I want to tell y'all something. We got nothing to share at all. We got nothing to tell at all. What's said in the group stays in the group. What's said to your friend stays with your friend. You want to earn someone's trust, zip it up. Next time your friend gossips to you, I want you to remember that. They ain't your friend. Ain't your friend. And when you're not there, they'll talk about you. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. I thank you for your word that just simplifies life. And lets us know that to be a friend, I got to be one. That my friends are going to be who I am, not what I want. They're going to be who I are. So I got to look at myself in the mirror, Lord, and I hope you help me do that today. Say, Jim, who are you? Take a look at the friends around you. And I think I can see me. Lord, help us today as we build these deep relationships, because they're needed. To accomplish your will and your purpose, we need friends that are trustworthy. and I need to be trustworthy. Lord, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.